February 2010 is not so far off now. Residents of Vancouver are wondering, many with grave concern, what it will actually be like during the Olympics. Particularly worried are the homeless and those living in the downtown east side. Much of the concern is about lack of housing and gentrification. But there are also concerns about the impact of the $1 billion Olympic security budget. To talk more about the security of the games and how it's impacting those in the downtown east side, we've reached Laura Track. Laura is a housing campaign lawyer at the Pivot Legal Society. Pivot is a nonprofit legal advocacy organization located in the downtown east side. Thanks for joining us, Laura.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Back in March, you helped organize a public meeting with representatives from the Integrated Security Unit and the Vancouver Police. How did this meeting come to be?
Well, the meeting came to be because, well, I guess the initial impetus for Pivot working so hard to finally bring this meeting to come to pass was that in the bid book, so going back years now, in Vancouver's bid for the Olympics, we made promises to the Olympic Committee that we would consult with inner-city communities, or that they would consult with inner-city communities around security plans for the Games, and that that consultation would happen before security plans were finalized, and that people would actually have an opportunity to have a say in what security plans would look like. That was a promise that was not kept. Years went by, and that consultation didn't happen. There was a similar consultation around housing issues that produced an incredibly powerful document with a whole bunch of unanimous recommendations from different groups. And as a result of that, we thought, well, that was successful. I'm sure the security consultation will be happening soon. And it just never materialized. And it was something that was incredibly important to all sorts of groups and people in the downtown east side for them to, number one, get information about what they could expect during the Olympic Games, but also to have an opportunity to ask questions and to provide feedback and knowledge, sources of knowledge for the security planners. So after it became clear that there wasn't going to be any kind of meaningful consultation, Pivot decided that, well, the least we could do is facilitate a meeting where the Integrated Security Unit could come to the downtown Eastside neighborhood and make a presentation on the security plans that are already being made and in place, and residents would have an opportunity to ask questions and voice their concerns. So it wasn't the true consultation that we had all hoped for, but it was a really useful opportunity, I think, for people to find out what the security plans are, how they're likely to affect the neighborhood, and also to ask questions. And the audience at this meeting was amazing. They asked some incredibly powerful and deep and thoughtful and useful questions of the security representatives who were there that day, and I thought that the meeting went really, really well, and I hope that the community found it useful as well.
So who exactly is the Integrated Security Unit, and what are they responsible for during the Olympics?
The Integrated Security Unit is made up of different partners all involved in security plans. One thing that they're very eager to point out and clarify for people, and they made this point at the meeting several times, was sort of the division of powers within the Integrated Security Unit and how that will play out during the Olympics. So the RCMP will be responsible for security within venues. So venues will be fenced off, and that's where events will be taking place. And the RCMP will be the body that's responsible for all security issues inside of venues. The Vancouver Police Department will be sort of policing as usual outside of the venues. So on the streets of Vancouver and in the downtown east side, the Vancouver Police Department will be the police force of jurisdiction. And the other point that they're very eager to point out is that it will be policing as normal, they say. So the point that they made several times at this meeting and have made subsequently is that anything that is legal today will be legal during the Olympics, and anything that is illegal today will be illegal during the Olympics. Now, of course, the laws may not change, but enforcement priorities certainly may change during the Olympics. And I think that many of the questions that were asked that day really got at enforcement priorities. So, yes, it's true that jaywalking is illegal, or selling belongings on the sidewalk, or having a shelter up on a sidewalk or in a park. Those are all illegal today, but they're things that, in large part, the police tend not to enforce, or have tended not to enforce historically. But, of course, what we've seen in the last year, and particularly in the last several months, is an incredible crackdown on those kinds of behaviors. So the ticketing campaign in the Downtown East Side is probably something that's well known to many of your listeners. The police handed out over 1,000 bylaw infraction tickets just in the month of December alone for things like jaywalking or having a bike on a sidewalk and things like this, spitting, illegal vending. And these tickets were really seen by the community as an attempt to target and harass the low-income community of the Downtown East Side, and to kind of scare them out of the neighborhood. Same goes with taking down structures and tents. There's been a community of tents across from the Army and Navy on Cordova Street for years, and it was only just in the last little while that those structures have been taken down. And people really see this as the beginning of rapid displacement and efforts to push low-income people, and to push really what are the visible signs of poverty in the Downtown East Side out of public view, out of an area where there are going to be a lot of people and media attention here during the Olympics.
And what was the Vancouver Police and the Integrated Security response to this concern about the targeted ticketing?
Well, the ticketing issue, they didn't really handle, in a sense, because they deem it not an Olympic issue, and it's an issue for the Vancouver Police Department to respond to. When you talk to the Vancouver Police Department about the ticketing campaign, they say a number of things. Number one message that I've sort of taken away from conversations with representatives from the VPD is that they're motivated by altruistic reasons. So, for example, with the jaywalking tickets, they will tell you that, and this is true, that being hit by a car is a very serious risk for a homeless person, and a very common cause of death among the homeless population in Vancouver is being hit by cars. So they say that their impetus for cracking down on jaywalking was to prevent deaths. But you sort of look at that and think that there have to be any number of better ways of going about cutting homeless deaths due to being hit by cars than by handing people tickets that they can't afford to pay. And similarly with the vending, there are serious concerns around illegal vending on the sidewalks related to stolen property and related to the ways in which they may become targets for drug dealing activity, for example. But by giving people, you know, outrageously priced tickets for doing something that they're simply doing to supplement their incredibly meager social assistance rates in order to help them survive, again, there are so many more proactive and positive solutions to any problems that might exist. And so we're hoping that the police will take an alternative look at these kinds of things, and through opportunities like the meeting that we had back in March around security, listen to the community and the amazingly creative solutions that people can come up with, and consider things like creating a safe space for people to sell belongings in order to earn a little bit of extra money, and things like that. So these were sort of some of the things that came out of the meeting were really creative solutions and responses to concerns that the police will raise, but which could probably be responded to in ways other than a ticketing blitz.
Could this whole notion of being able to be arrested because you have an outstanding, say, jaywalking ticket you haven't dealt with, could that somehow be related to an Olympic sort of clean the streets program?
Yeah, that was the number one concern when the ticketing campaign started to happen, and it was what I assumed and what I think most people assumed was happening, and I still have concerns about that for sure. When you put that to the police, they tell you, well, and there's probably some merit to this point, that no judge would hold anyone in prison in pretrial custody for an unpaid ticket, even if they were picked up on a warrant. So what the police have said to me a couple times is, if that's what we wanted to do, if we wanted to just round people up and arrest people during the Olympics, we wouldn't do it with bylaw infraction tickets, which is not particularly reassuring because it makes you wonder how they will do it. But the bylaw tickets probably won't result in that, but they could result in people being held overnight or for a couple of hours, and they can also result in people being given no-go orders by a judge, for example, somebody that is vending in a certain area of the city could be given a no-go order for that zone and told you must stay out of the 100 block of East Hastings Street or whatever it is, and that can have really profound impacts for people's access to healthcare service, for example, and can contribute to a real increase in instability and problematic behavior and problems with access to needed health services for people that are impacted by those tickets.
So this ticket, I mean, outstanding ticket thing may be one way that they'll try to, I don't know how to term it, sort of clean up the streets. Or what other strategies do you think that they're going to actually use in relation to the streets during the Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm hoping is that they will use the strategy of creating safe housing for people. When people have safe housing, a safe place to go, inside, stable, warm, safe, that's where they'll choose to be in February of 2010, not on the streets. And so I hope that by 2010 we have some, I mean, it's too much to think that we will have permanent affordable housing newly built between now and then. It just can't happen in the 8 months that are remaining. We've moved too slowly, and the provincial government has delayed too many times for that to happen, unfortunately. But what we can hope for is some temporary solutions in the forms of emergency shelters. And it's frustrating that that's sort of our best case scenario at this point for 2010. There are also interim strategies being proposed by the city that I think have some value, at least in terms of keeping people safe and inside through the winter. And those involve things like temporary housing structures. Some people call them modular housing. They're small, kind of portable-like structures that can be outfitted with a bathroom and shared kitchen facilities that would be managed by a nonprofit, maybe like Lookout or Rain City or Portland Hotel Society, one of the nonprofits that do such a phenomenal job of running some of the housing, supportive housing in the downtown east side. And so those are some options that will help keep people inside. So these are the things that I hope we'll be doing during the Olympics, and that there just will be enough places indoors that we won't have to have people sleeping on the sidewalks in the middle of the winter.
So I know there's a couple other security issues that will affect residents of the downtown east side, and I know one of them is the security around venues. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the venues will, there aren't any venues specifically in the downtown east side, but GM Place, BC Place, that area is a venue, as well as the Pacific Coliseum out by the P&E. So in particular, the BC Place, GM Place venue, that sort of venue perimeter is going to extend out over the viaduct. And there are a number of people that live under the viaducts and sleep under the shelter that those structures provide. And they will be displaced during the Olympics. They will have to move from the security zone. And what I've learned from conversations with Judy Graves, who's the city's homeless outreach worker and knows as much as anybody, I think, in the country about the issues that people experiencing homelessness face, what she tells me is that when a homeless person is forced to move from a place where they are familiar and feel safe and sort of know the area and where people know them and are looking out for them, that can be a huge issue for people and can put their health and even their lives at risk in a big way. So I'm concerned about those people who will be impacted, as well as the transportation plans and how those are going to impact people's everyday lives. So Hastings Street is going to be an Olympic corridor, which I understand to mean it will basically be a six-lane highway through the middle of the downtown east side for the duration of the games. I can foresee all sorts of problems there with people crossing the street and people accessing services and health care. As well as the venue closures and how that will affect transportation. There are quite a number of people who live in the west part of Vancouver across the bridge, so out towards Kitts and Point Grey, who come across the seawall and cross the Canby Street Bridge and collect cans and bottles along the way from garbage bins and then recycle them, return them at the United We Can in the downtown side and supplement their social assistance in that way. And they will not be able to do that during the games. And so their livelihood is going to be disrupted for the duration of the game. So these are some of the impacts that I foresee and that I'm hoping to bring to more people's attention to ensure that the negative effects of all of the Olympic security plans will be considered and addressed as best as they can be by the security officials and by groups that work here in the neighborhood that can be of assistance.
Well, thanks so much for joining us and helping us explore some of these impacts on the downtown east side of the Olympic security regime.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
We have been speaking with Laura Track. She is a housing campaign lawyer at the Pivot Legal Society. To find out more about Pivot, you can go to their website. It's www.pivotlegal.org.